Welcome to the London Irish Business Society Leadership Series. My name is Brian O'Connor. In this series, we spend time with leaders across a range of industries, discussing their careers, leadership advice, and what it means to be part of the global Irish community. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Katrina O'Kelly, Chief Financial Officer at Davy Group. Davy is Ireland's largest stockbroker, wealth manager, asset manager, and financial advisor, managing more than 14 billion euro of client assets. They employ more than 700 people, with offices in Dublin, Cork, Galway, Belfast, London and Luxembourg. Prior to joining Davy in 2019, Katrina spent 9 years at Deutsche Bank, departing the company as the Global Head of Treasury Regulation and Head of EMEA Treasury. A Trinity graduate, she also worked at ING, the Institute of International Finance in Washington, the European Banking Federation in Brussels and at AIB. I started by asking Katrina about her motivations to move back to Ireland from London in 2019.
Yeah, sure. So for me, there were a number of different factors. There were political factors, personal factors, and of course, professional factors. So from a professional perspective, I was actually very happy at Deutsche Bank, loved it as an organization. It was going through, as I think the media has covered extensively, some highs and lows and pressures. And my job was particularly interesting because I managed a lot of the senior interaction around capital and liquidity in the organization, which were obviously very much in focus with the regulators. And on top of that, I had the role within the Europe, Middle East and Africa Treasury, really leading that part of the organization and looking at bringing, you know, more standardization into the Treasury function across that region. Which was fascinating because it gave me an insight and perspective around what people in subsidiaries outside of the main operating centres were doing and how they perceived their role within the organisation. So that kind of hub and spoke model was something I hadn't had that much contact with in the past. So it really gave me exposure to some fascinating people. Why did I choose to leave? I think at the time I felt that within the Treasury Department, so within the model of Deutsche Bank, I was two levels below the management board. The pyramid becomes very narrow at that point in time. And the opportunities to get to the next level to report directly to a member of the management board are few and far between. And obviously, there's a lot of competition for those. And, you know, while I could have continued to try to get to that level and get to the next level and do whatever was needed to get there, I felt like I needed to step outside of the Deutsche organization and have other experiences and learn other governance models and really, you know, work in a different level in a different sized organization to try to balance my experience away from what can be quite internally focused, a role that was quite internally focused. So at the time that I was considering what I would next do from a career perspective and whether I would stay in Deutsche or whether I'd progress onwards, I also got pregnant. And that obviously created a huge pull to come back to Ireland. I'd been away for 16 years, so 9 years at Deutsche Bank, but actually I'd worked in Brussels and Washington, D.C. and back in Brussels before I moved to London. So I'd never worked in Ireland really as an adult. I did a grad program for 2 years and then left. And that personal pull of, you know, I'm now going to be raising a child. Do I want to do that in London or do I want to be around family and friends was very, very strong. So the two things kind of came at the same time. And then obviously the political element, the referendum in 2016, which was, I think, 4 years ago this week, was a shock to the system. I wasn't one of the people who fully expected there to be a Remain vote, but certainly it was still a shock when there was a Leave vote. And what came afterwards was a shock. And what I found within the expat community, not just my Irish friends, but more broadly, was it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back to some extent. So it created a push away from London for people within the expat community that perhaps hadn't been there previously. And a lot of my close friends actually left in the years following the referendum. And so my personal connections and, you know, my enjoyment of London started to go downwards as that pull to go back to Ireland started to increase. And in, I think it was May 2018, Davy actually approached me. So I wasn't actively really looking externally at that point. I was obviously considering my options within Deutsche and externally, as I said. I wasn't actively looking. Davy came knocking and it was just a fantastic opportunity. It was an opportunity to step onto the board of an organization and get that executive experience, which obviously, you know, hopefully in my future will open the door to doing independent directorships. at some point post-Davy. We're talking many years in the future. But I really wanted to, you know, work in a position where, first of all, a huge part of your job isn't around the politics of getting promoted, which it is at a certain senior level in a large bank. There's a lot of that. That's taken out of your work day-to-day life when you get to the level of sitting on the board. And then you can really focus on, you know, what's interesting, what's the change agenda that needs to take place in this organization? How can I play to my strengths and what can I bring to bear in the organization to make it a stronger place and to help it move forward, you know, and to really pursue a growth agenda? So from a strategic point of view, even if I felt I did this for a few years in Davy and then went back to a large investment bank, which really I don't think I will do from a personal point of view, but professionally, if I wanted to do that, I think this is an experience that would stand by me.
It's interesting you talk about that push you felt that London and the UK maybe wasn't the same place that it had been, and that there was a tension there that caused you to reassess you know, where you wanted to continue your career. On the other side of that, how do you feel Ireland does in terms of attracting or pulling new talent back into the country? Do you think there are enough senior level positions for someone looking to pursue a career in financial services?
There are definitely more than there used to be. So I came home, I think the first time I really considered moving home was probably around Easter of 2016. And at that point, I came home and I talked to a few headhunters and they said to me, you can expect to take a 50% cut in your salary if you come back to Dublin. And with your regulatory experience, we can probably find you a compliance job in, you know, a fund. And I just dismissed the idea straight away. I thought it's really not interesting to me. You know, there isn't the scope within the Dublin market for me to use my experience. And from a pay perspective, although you might accept that there's going to be some element of pay cut coming back to a smaller city, 50% is a bit extreme for anybody to hear. So what I found moving back to Davy and obviously becoming more familiar with the Dublin market is that there are certainly far more opportunities now in the market, with so many of the UK and other institutions setting up their Brexit banks within Dublin. There are a lot more opportunities now. There are a lot more opportunities which are much more at, I wouldn't say London level of pay, but much more closer to that market. And that has pushed up, I think, the level of pay across senior positions in financial services in Dublin. I think it is still a place where having a network and working the network, which is hard to do under the current circumstances, is something you need to do. So I wouldn't try to come back to the Dublin market on the basis of I'll go through headhunters and it's a huge market like London and eventually the right job is going to come along. Like there'll be so many options, I'll find the right thing. That's not going to happen in Dublin. I think in Dublin, you really need to get, you know, your network set up. You need to use your contacts to build that network out. And somebody will eventually think of you for a role where you will be a good fit. You may have to be a bit imaginative about how your skill set fits with roles in Dublin. There may be some sacrifice to that. And certainly for me, when I joined Davy as CFO, I'm not a qualified accountant. So it was a leap of faith for me. It was a risk for them. It was a risk for me. I was joining as a kind of new type of CFO who's, you know, much more focused on the strategic element of the organization. But I walked away from expertise I had built up over years. And I've had this conversation with a few people who've approached me looking to come back or looking to find a job in Dublin. They have a specific expertise and they really want to continue in that track and they want to build off that expertise. And it's not a market where you're necessarily going to be able to do that and get to a more senior level. So at some point you have to accept if you're going to get to a more senior level, there is some abandoning of your specialism and you need to become more of a generalist in some senses, and in other ways, you need to become more specialized in other skills. So that is a challenge I think people thinking of coming home need to consider. When I look at my CV, can I delete all the words that refer to my technical expertise and really think about the skill set that I have and emphasize the skill set more than the technical knowledge? And I think that's probably worth doing and it's worth sitting down then with some of the headhunters in Dublin, but also again, going through your network and thinking about where that might fit in the market. The other thing I would say is that it may be you need to take a sideways move or, you know, that people coming home would need to consider I don't want to say a step down, but when they look at the size of the organization they're going to work in compared to what they may have worked in London, it may seem like a step down. And for me, I think the important thing in work and in your professional life is to focus on the opportunity for learning and growth and for bringing change to an organization, and not to focus on the status of the job or the title of the job or where you fit in the organization. Because I think London can be quite focused on that. I mean, working life in London is incredibly focused on those elements that you may not even recognize it until you step away from it, but it's incredibly focused on status. And Dublin is not. People in Dublin really don't care as much about status. It's much more, what can you contribute and what can you bring to the table? And again, in thinking about moving home to Dublin, trying to consider that in terms of how you frame yourself or your expertise or what you can bring to the table is really important.
That's really practical and a great insight. Going back to that move back to Ireland before joining Davy from Deutsche Bank, you shared quite a vulnerable post on LinkedIn that I might read out. 4 weeks until I start a new job after 8 months on maternity leave. New job, new company, new country, new baby, new home. Any advice from the working mothers on here? That's incredibly vulnerable, like I mentioned. I think, a question a lot of people have at some point in their career. What advice would you give to new parents looking to return to the workplace?
Yeah. So actually, it didn't come from a point of vulnerability. I think I was quite excited about, everything that was new in my life, mainly because I'm inclined to change everything at the one time. So it's probably a little, when you read it back, I think, how on earth did I do that? I moved country with a 4-month-old baby alone. Yeah. So for me, time, and everybody will say it, but time is the biggest challenge. I'm in my 40s, having my first child. I went from, a long career behind me where I could work whatever hours I needed to get the job done and to concentrate and get in the zone. In Deutsche, I would have had meetings from morning to evening, but I could then stay in the office for hours. And if I really needed to get some thinking done, I could do it. And I had that mental space to do that. That's the biggest challenge. The other thing I'd say is my circadian rhythm is that I'm much more productive in the evening. So I have always been my entire life. And at some point a few years ago, I decided I'd stop trying to change that. For years, I tried to force my whole mindset back into the morning and how can I get productive in the morning? And at some point, I just accepted that's not how my brain works. My brain is much better thinking in the evening. And now I'm in a situation where I have a childminder from 8 to 6. And within those hours, those are my productive hours. I sometimes log back on in the evening, but frankly, I'm usually exhausted by the time, I get a toddler to bed. So it was really difficult to think about how to structure my time and how to delegate. And by the way, that's another issue of working in Dublin, as opposed to working in financial services in London, is you don't have the huge number of resources to delegate to. Mm. So you come to a job in Dublin, you are going to be more rolling up your sleeves and doing the work. I used to just delegate to, I had just teams of people. You could have an idea and just put it out there and somebody would run back with it fully fleshed a week later. That doesn't happen in Dublin because there isn't the same level of resource and people are really stretched doing their roles here. And so if you have an idea, you need to move the idea forward yourself. So how have I managed that? I'm not sure I have or I haven't. I think I've been much more ruthless in my decisions. One of the advantages of being at a senior level is, again, I felt much more attached to the ideas around, I have to be in that meeting. I have to be seen to be there. I have to be visible because I'm trying to get ahead in an organization that's incredibly hierarchical. I care a lot less about stuff like that now in the position I'm in, partly because I don't need to care as much about where I am and whether people see me there because I already have the role that I wanted. But also because I have to be really, really ruthless in my decision making. So I'd say to any new parents coming back, and I think this is to men and women, because people are inclined to think about coming back as a new parent as only being about being a mother. But I think for new fathers, it's incredibly challenging because there's no recognition in the workplace that they also really want to spend time with their children. And I think it is, again, just dropping the attachment to status to an extent. I mean, you need to have it to an extent, but to an extent, dropping that and focusing on where can I add value? What are going to be the wins for me? Picking your battles, not sweating the small stuff. People say it and it may not resonate until you're really time constrained. But I just do not get into battles around the minutiae of who said what and office politics. It's just a waste of your time and you have very little time. So forget about it. You just stop caring about all of that stuff. So I think that's the real challenge. One thing I would say is that the COVID-19 situation has been a godsend, I think, for parents in some ways. So obviously, we've all struggled with having children at home and trying to work, and it's incredibly difficult. But long term, most people will not go back into an office. Offices will not have the capacity to take everybody back 5 days a week. And I certainly find now, I went back yesterday for the first time, and I find now that the time I would have spent commuting or the time I would have spent walking to M&S to buy a sandwich at lunchtime, I spend interacting with my child. And, you know, we're much closer as a result. I think it makes it much easier for me to balance family and working life, just taking the commute out of it, but also just that, you know, physical closeness. We're in the same house. I now have a new childminder, thank God, and she's fantastic. But I'm able to interact with him much more than I was rushing in and rushing out all of the time before and really missing his little life. And, you know, getting him at first thing in the morning for a few minutes and for 1 hour in the evening when he was, like most children, it's the witching hour and cranky. So I think really taking advantage of what we've been given as a result of a very difficult situation and ensuring that you're one of the people in your organization who drives, again, change out of that. Like what has happened over the last few months that we can actually integrate on a permanent basis into an agile way of working in an organization, I think that's going to be, it's going to be really important. And I think a huge benefit to everybody, but, you know, specifically to working parents and that balancing piece.
You're listening to the LIBS Leadership Series, brought to you in partnership with our sponsors, Davy Group and Morgan McKinley. You can join LIBS from our website, li-bs.co.uk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Katrina O'Kelly, CFO at Davy Group. We discuss her decision to return to Ireland after 16 years of working abroad, balancing work with parenthood, and what leaders can do to address the gender balance in the workplace. Back to the interview. I want to shift gears slightly. A 2018 CSO study of the financial services industry in Ireland showed that women are paid on average €25,000 less than their male colleagues, driven primarily by underrepresentation of women at senior levels. As somebody who's bucked that trend, what advice would you give to other leaders in the industry who are looking to address this imbalance?
So it's a very important, really important question. And I think that pay gap absolutely is there. I think everybody in senior positions across financial services and beyond that needs to consider a number of factors. Firstly, when you look at pay within your organization, so you normally go through an annual review period within financial services, and it's inclined to be a very short turnaround. You know, at the end of the year, there's a pay review, there's a bonus review if you're in an organization that pays bonuses, which I must say Davy does, so it's quite generous in that regard. And I hope it can continue to be, but you need to take a gender lens to that and a broader diversity lens. But if we just talk about the gender piece, you need to take a lens to that, look across the males and females in your team and across the organization and see whether there's any systemic issues around whether or not there's equal pay at the same level. I think we've all experienced it. Guys are just much more confident at asking for pay rises than women. And I think encouraging women to have the confidence to ask a question to which the answer is either yes or no, but, you know, there's usually no broader implication. Somebody said no to a pay rise, unless you ask 3 days later, if you're realistic and you're asking for the right reasons and putting a case forward, you know, I think it's always worth asking the question. So one thing is that, you know, looking across the pay of the organization with that lens. The other two things are in hiring, very obviously ensuring that there are balanced panels. And that you're really considering gender diversity and perhaps considering targets in your hiring to ensure that you're getting more women into the organization. But to me, nearly more importantly than hiring senior women in is building a pipeline. And that is a very difficult thing to do. So if you hire strong women at a junior level, you have to support them up through the organization. You need to look at mentoring and sponsoring. And then I think the other thing you need to look at is giving women the right opportunities that might take them out of their comfort zone. So what I think, you know, in my entire career, what I've heard is, well, there's no woman really with the right skill set to take on that piece of work, or, you know, to sit in that particular steerco or committee, you know, to look at that program or project. And yet, funny enough, there are always guys with that skill set. And sometimes the reason they have the skill set is because they have been given the opportunity or they've asked for the opportunity early on. So I think having the courage to take the risk with female employees, that you can pull them out of their day job and ask them to do something on top of that day job, and that they'll be willing to do that, they'll be willing to take the opportunity. That's really, really key, because if you don't give them the exposure to the broader strategic discussions, they will never build up that rounded view which helps them get to the next level and to get to a senior level. And I certainly would much prefer to see women promoted through the organization than just hiring in women at a senior level. I think that's it's a very important message.
As you mentioned a little earlier on, you spent the majority of your career outside of Ireland. Would you say you picked up on any traits inherent to Irish leaders that set them apart from their international counterparts?
Yeah, I saw you were going to ask me that question. And it's an interesting one, because my thinking of that has probably changed over the years. The one trait that I would say I have always found with Irish people that I've worked with, and obviously outside of Ireland, is a bit of out-of-the-box thinking. So, and I don't know whether it's fair or, you know, whether I had a bias to think that, but I generally found that Irish people have a mentality, which is funny because our Leaving Cert certainly doesn't encourage it. It's very rote learning and it's, you know, regurgitate a bunch of information. But yet Irish people seem to culturally have an ability to join dots where other people wouldn't necessarily join them, or to think in a more imaginative way about problems. And again, I don't know whether it's complete rubbish, and I just, you know, I came to that conclusion for, I couldn't provide any evidence whatsoever that that's true, but it's certainly an impression that I had. And then I think, you know, one of the key things in terms of advancing in your career is getting on with people. And, you know, I've often said to younger people, you can have as much technical expertise as you want, but if you lack charm and you lack an ability to just, you know, on a human level, build relationships, it's going to, you know, you will only get so far. And I do think the Irish friendliness that we kind of naturally have from being in a very community-based country, which is smaller, does help us to build relationships and manage stakeholders in a way that, you know, and I certainly, you know, it's not that I like every Irish person in the world. I've met some I don't like, but generally I think it does pay. People like Irish people. And, you know, I know working with Germans, working with British people, they generally are positively disposed to Irish people. They've worked with them in the past and they've had a positive experience. And, you know, that's a benefit that I wouldn't take too lightly. I think it's quite important.
Wonderful. Well, that's great to hear. I think most people will be delighted to hear that that's been your experience, that, you know, you've seen Irish people bring that innovation to their role. I think we all know that we have the crack and the gift of the gab most of the time, but it's great to hear that that you've seen us, yeah, bring so much more to the table as well. Wonderful. Well, Katrina, thank you so much for joining us today on the LIBS Leadership series. Is there anywhere people should go if they want to learn more about you or about Davy generally?
Yeah, so I'm not that active on social media. I do post a little bit on LinkedIn, but not very much. But I think during the COVID-19 experience, Davy has done a fantastic job of using LinkedIn and Twitter effectively. And we've posted some really great materials on there that we normally wouldn't have done. So we would normally have physical events, and instead we've done, you know, web access. And you know, one thing I'd point to is that our chief investment officer has put some fantastic sound bites and interviews online via Davy's Twitter account, which are definitely worth taking a look at in terms of market commentary.
Excellent. Katrina, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's it for today's podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Davy Group and Morgan McKinley. For more information about the London Irish Business Society, you can find us on all the usual social channels. Thank you for listening.